He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday, January the 3rd edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We're giving Barry another day off. He'll be back tomorrow on the show, and it looks like maybe we've got a trend here to start the year. We've got the 10-year up 9 basis points right now. That means rising interest rates. That's a pretty good bump. We started the day at 1.51, and we're hitting 1.60, and that's taking the spunk out of the market here. The Dow is now down 12 points to 36,330. It was up about 150 here at the open, but those rising interest rates, which I've said we've got to really focus on in 2022, it's also taken about half of the gain out of the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ was up about 150. Now it's up just 76. And, you know, rising rates are a big threat to the higher PE, high beta, high price to sales types of stocks. So we'll be watching that very closely in 2022. S&P is up 5, 47.71. The small caps are up a half a percent. Up 11 points, that's the Russell 2000. Gold is down $24 per ounce. It's off to a bad start. Had a very bad year in 2021. Gold is at 1804. Silver's down 65 cents to 2270. The 10-year, there's your big story, 1.60 this morning. That's a big pop out of the gate to start a new year. And Bitcoin down $181 per coin today to $46,944, quite a ways off of its all-time high. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. Barry will be back with us tomorrow. I'm flying solo today. We finished the week off last Friday. There wasn't much activity. There wasn't much volume. But we ended the week, end the year, in kind of very soft note in the market. The Dow was down 60. The S&P was, or the NASDAQ was down 100. And, in fact, the NASDAQ had four really good days in a row, and then it had three really bad days in a row. And we're starting off the new year with a little shot over the bow of the NASDAQ, coming in the form of the 10-year going up by 9 basis points right now. And I've been saying that's one of the walls, one of the bricks in the wall of worry to climb this year in the market. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean it'll bring the market down, but those high PE, high price to sales, high price to beta stocks, they're the ones that are in the firing range of higher interest rates. We saw this last February of 2021 when we saw interest rates start to go up all of a sudden in February, and that took with it a lot of the very high beta types of stocks. They sold off by about a third during that period of time when the whole market kind of was upended in February and March of last year. So we're starting this year with a big jump here in interest rates, almost 10 basis points right now, and that's taking some steam out of the futures were good overnight, Europe was good overnight, but all of a sudden here some of the steam coming out of a little bit of a rally that we had going on in the market on this first trading day of 2022. It's also the beginning of the first quarter of 2022. And the quarter four of 2021 ended last Friday. That means companies closed their books, and now it's time to do the counting and find out how much was taken in the way of top-line sales, how much was spent against those sales. And, of course, how much was left over in the form of profit or in the form of a loss if there wasn't any left over. And those numbers will be compared with the same quarter last year, which, you know, we were coming out of COVID. So the comparisons are still going to be fairly easy, but it's going to get tougher as we go forward. And the comparisons are going to get a lot tougher. We're not going to have the kind of earnings growth in 2022 that we had in 2021 because our comparison was 2020, which was the COVID year. But we are still looking for growth in 2021. How much growth? Are those predictions for growth in 2022 going to hold? We'll see. We'll start getting earnings reports in about 10 days or so. And then a very important earnings season will be underway as we get the first quarter, the fourth quarter 2021, but we'll get some good insight into 2022. Well, let's see. What else do we have? Global stock markets mixed in the first session of 2022. China was up 0.5%. India was up 1.6%. Some saying that if you want to invest overseas, India seems to be the most investable country with the problem still persisting in China. You've got issues in Europe, especially as it relates to energy and Omicron lockdowns, and you have issues in South America. So that doesn't leave much outside of the U.S. to invest in. I don't know how many people are stranded today, but over 4,000 flights were canceled on Sunday amid the Omicron surge. It's people, you know, in that industry calling in sick, and that's created a lot of problems. I'm sure it will clean itself up here this week. Folks will finally get home. Now we've got weather out here on the in the South, Alabama, stretching up to New Jersey. We've got weather down here in South Carolina right now with some high winds and rain. So that's probably going to hurt, too, getting those folks home. Israel to offer a fourth COVID-19 vaccine dose. Now, I would just say, looking at the stocks here today, what's leading the market, well, I would say that the Omicron fears continue to fade. And I think over the long weekend, you know, we had some news coming out of the CDC, less draconian measures being taken on the lockdowns, etc. And I'm seeing today, Carnival Cruise Lines and the S&P 500 is up. United Airlines, American Airlines, so a lot of the travel and leisure stocks, which means that, yeah, probably Omicron is starting to fade a little bit as far as a fear for shutting down the economy. We're also seeing a good day so far in the financial stocks. Now, why would that be? All of a sudden, Citizens Financial, Wells Fargo, Comerica having a good day. Well, they benefit from rising interest rates. And that's one of the first day things that standing, jumping off the page to me is a big jump in interest rates. 10 basis points. Where did that come from? And that is hurting the high tech, high beta stocks, and it's helping the financials. So Israel approves a fourth COVID-19 vaccine. Now, I've heard a lot of people that have gotten the vaccine and they're getting Omicron anyways. I don't know how effective the vaccine is on Omicron, but now they say, well, you're going to get a easier, you know, infection to deal with than had you not been vaccinated. Tesla soars after crushing delivery and production numbers. Well, let's check in on Tesla. One good thing about Tesla, the insider selling is done. Look at that string of insider sells over the last few months. Who's the insider that's been selling? Ah, the big man himself. Elon Musk has been selling to, you know, a good time to sell those low-priced stock options and just pay the taxes before capital gains rates could go up this year. We'll have to see. But his selling has finally abated, and they reported some really good numbers. They had blowout numbers, and the stock right now is up 9.4%, 9.3%. That's probably most of the gain in the NASDAQ right now is coming from Tesla, and it's also the biggest percent gainer in the S&P 500. Tesla delivered more than 308,000 vehicles in Q4, which was 40,000 more than the average Wall Street estimate. So Tesla delivers, and there's some new target prices out there on Tesla. How high can it go in 2022? This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, with the Dow up 92 right now, S&P up 11. Hey, that's a pretty good way to start a new year. And the NASDAQ's up 75. A lot of that's Tesla, however, as the big jump in interest rates on the 10-year up 10 basis points. That's coming out of nowhere. Where did that come from? Did you expect that when you woke up this morning? Well, you know what? There's going to be a lot of things we probably didn't expect that will happen in 2022. Okay, the big question is, I showed a chart in my newsletter on Friday of the Dow since 2001, the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And you can see that it bottomed in March of 2009, and I drew a line underneath the rise in the market since then. The Dow got down to 6,469 in 2009. 6,469. The earnings, now this is for the S&P 500, the earnings for the S&P 500 got down to $53 per share. They plummeted from 07 and 08 because of the financial crisis. The financial crisis not only clobbered the earnings of the financials, but it clobbered the earnings of many companies because of the fallout from the financial crisis and the Great Recession that ensued after that. Okay, and finally, those earnings bottomed out in 09 at about $53 per share. Now, we just completed 2021. It is in the books. We don't know the numbers yet, but the estimates right now for S&P 500 earnings, S&P 500 earnings. Now, remember, they were $53 per share back in 2009. What do they expect it to be this year? Somewhere in the $206, let's call it $206 range. So from $53 to $206. And you saw the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which bottomed out in March of 2009 at 64.69. Today it's hitting 36,421. The Dow has added about 30,000 points along the way, while the market, the S&P 500, has added about $150 per share in earnings. That's pretty darn good. Okay, the only year over the last 12 years that earnings did not go up was the COVID year. And in, you know, in accounting parlance, that's called an extraordinary event. That ends up in a footnote somewhere. You know the footnotes. Read the fine print. In the footnote, it would say, well, this was due to, pandemic that came along that nobody expected. It's not expected to repeat itself anytime soon. It was a extraordinary event. And, of course, the market priced in that extraordinary event. You can see on that 12-year trend line of up, you can see the big hit that the Dow took in 09. In fact, it got clear down to 18,213. That's about, about 2 years ago, little under 2 years ago. The Dow was at 18,213. And that's when Gunderson team wrote the articles for Seeking Alpha about going all in at that point. I think the Dow was around 19 or 20,000 when we wrote those articles. And here we are today, over 36,000. Why? Because earnings went on, they recovered from the COVID, and they're going to be all-time high this year, somewhere in the $205 to $207 per share range. Where do we go from here? Well, you know what? That's up to the 500 CEOs of the 500 companies. Now, they rely a lot on the economy. They can't do it. They need the wind at their back. The economy has to continue to grow. Inflation needs to remain at least manageable. Interest rates need to be fairly favorable, and the Fed needs to be fairly continue its accommodation, although we do know that they are pivoting. So anyways, all eyes on earnings. And I know there's a lot of other factors that we worry about on a daily basis with the market. What about the 50-day moving average? What about the 200-day moving average? What about the Bollinger Bands? What about the Fed printing money? You know, this and that and on and on. And at the end of the day, what do you think has guided the market for the last 12 years? It's been earnings of the S&P 500. And of course, some companies have had superior growth in earnings as opposed to other companies. Those are the ones that particularly interest me. I call them best stocks now. They're in the prime of their life or still in it, or they're entering into the prime of their life. They're not soggy old growth giants of yesteryear like AT&T and others that are growing very, very slowly, 2 or 3% per year, Cisco, etc. No, instead it's a new group of stocks that are leading the way. And this year's going to be different from last year. 2021 was very much different from 2020. You didn't get those big outsized gains from those speculative stocks that everybody was, I guess a lot of people staying home, working from home, you know, reading Motley Fool or watching Kramer or whatever. They had a lot of time on their hands, and there was a massive explosion in the speculative stocks in 2020. That all came to a screeching halt in February of last year when interest rates started going up, okay? That is a sobering moment for high PE, high beta, high price to sales, high price to cash flow, high price to book value stocks. They get reassessed as interest rates start to go higher, and the higher the beta, the higher the PE, the more in harm's way they are. Those stocks never really came back. You can ask Kathy Wood at ARK Funds. Her stocks never came back. She ended down about 25% on the year when the S&P 500 was up 25%. I looked at a lot of growth funds over the weekend, mutual funds. You know, the average growth mutual fund was up somewhere between 5 to 10%. That's right, about 5 to 10%. I looked at a lot of the old venerable growth mutual funds. And I think that the S&P 500 number was actually pretty misleading because there weren't very many funds or ETFs that came anywhere close to achieving. I guess you should have just owned SPY last year. The year before that, you would have got clobbered in SPY. SPY was up 16%, and many growth investors were up 60 to 100%. So every year is different, and this year I do not see the speculative stocks making a big comeback. I think interest rates are going to hold them down, and I think we're going to continue to ratchet down in PE, price to sales, price to book value. What kind of stocks? More on that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Tesla definitely leading the Nasdaq today. The Nasdaq or the Tesla is up $96 per share as they delivered a lot more cars than the analysts were expecting. I see a couple of new target prices out there on Tesla. There's a $1,200 target price. Well, it's at $1,153 now, but I see Wedbush keeps an outperform rating and a $1,400 target price. $1,400 target price is currently at $1,153. Boyd Company posts strong electric vehicle deliveries in December. That's a Chinese automaker. I think Warren Buffett did have some exposure in that company. I think he still does. They had a good quarter. They sold more than 93,945 electric vehicles in December. But, you know, I talked over the weekend and on Friday's show about China and investing in China. You know, it's dicey at best. It seems like this one they're going to leave their companies alone to do their thing. They do something else. China was down 21.2% in 2021. That's as measured by the FXI. That's a pretty well-known ETF that tracks kind of like their S&P 500, down 21.2% last year. And the year before that, it was only up 6.4%. So you know what? It'd take a lot for me to invest in a Chinese stock. China Evergrande shares trading was halted pending a release of inside information. I don't know what's going on there, but here's the kind of stuff that is going on there. The city government in the Chinese resort island of Hainan has ordered Evergrande to demolish 39 residential buildings within 10 days due to illegal construction. The buildings cover 435,000 square meters and took 8 years to complete. And the government there in Hainan wants them to just tear them down. They're illegal. Well, that's the kind of stuff, you know, that goes on there and, for me, has made it an uninvestable part of the world to invest in. Evergrande was down 89% last year. 89%. Not good. Germany shuts 3 of its 6 remaining nuclear power plants. Well, you know, they've been going back and forth. France, I think it was over the weekend, France is a big believer in nuclear power and also in natural gas. And in fact, they got the designation of those two fuels, those two energies, as being called green energy, which Germany does not agree with. But there seems to be some kind of renaissance of nuclear energy in Europe, but not in Germany. Germany, back in 2013, when the big earthquake hit Japan, they made a commitment. That was Fukushima. They made a commitment to close their nuclear power plants, and they are going to do it. Even though there's a power and energy crisis in Europe, they are going to shut down on Friday. Though they shut down Friday, and they've got the other three will be turned off by the end of the year. So they are going as much green, wind, and solar as they possibly can. UBS. Okay, here's what UBS says to invest in 2022. And I'm kind of on this bandwagon. They have a target price on the S&P 500 of 5,100. Okay, in order to achieve 5,100 next year, the S&P is currently at about 4750 or so. Well, you'd have to hit those earnings estimates, the consensus estimates, even the upper end of those estimates that are out there by the many analysts that cover the S&P 500. And you'd have to maintain a very high multiple on those earnings, and that's going to depend upon the Fed, and it's going to depend upon interest rates. Today you're seeing a 10-point jump in interest rates, and that's taking a lot of the high PE stocks. I would say in the NASDAQ, the software sector is the most vulnerable sector out there. I see a lot of those stocks are selling off today on this big jump in interest rates. What does well? Well, we've talked about it before. The financials do well. Now, we don't really know if there's going to be a big run in interest rates this year. That's why I almost think, and I've been saying for quite some time, that a little bit of a balanced approach. You can't have all financials in your portfolio in 2022, and you can't have all high-flying tech stocks in your portfolio in 2022. I think you have to have a little bit of a balanced approach. And on the days like today when the interest rates are a-jumping, you know, you're going to have some nice winners in your financials, and it's going to offset the sell-off in some of your higher PE stuff. So anyways, that's just me. But UBS, they like cyclicals. Well, that's kind of the low PE stuff, right? Energy. I think it will be a good year. I'm pretty bullish on energy. I think oil and natural gas prices are going to continue to go higher. I think financials will have a good year. UBS also likes the healthcare stocks. Not too hot on the tech stocks as UBS, but they do have a target price S&P 500 5100 by the end of the year. Okay, well, we'll see, won't we? The energy sector ruled 2021 as crude oil rallies to its biggest gain in 12 years. You know, you got to say that that's one of the biggest turnarounds of all time. I guess if we had a crystal ball and remember when energy prices went negative in 2020, that was about March, April of 2020. In fact, XLE, which is an energy ETF, in 2020 was down 52%. That was a year when there was an explosion in speculative stocks, the COVID year. Oil stocks were not a good place to be in 2020. They were down 52% as a group. What did they do last year? Up 92%. One of the top performing sectors in the entire market. XLE is just one oil-based ETF. It was up 92% last year. Crude rallied to some of its biggest gains. I think we started the year at $48 per barrel in oil last year. And, of course, we ended the year somewhere around $75 per barrel. And what will we see in 2022? Well, I mean, it looks pretty bullish for me still. Gold, pressured by rising interest rates, had its worst year since 2015. And you heard me pretty much all throughout the year saying, you know, gold is just very, very dull. I just can't see other than having a small percentage of your portfolio, I just can't see it. In fact, gold was down 4.1% last year. It went nowhere. And you would think in an inflationary environment that that would be favorable for gold. But there's a lot of other factors out there right now that are not favorable for gold. So gold starts the year on its back foot. Had a very poor year in 2021 and really not seeing much of a catalyst right now to get gold going. How about IPOs? Oh, my goodness. I still have about 600 IPOs, most of them second rate, third rate IPOs and SPACs to add to my app. It was a record year, a record number of companies debuting in the U.S. markets. You know, I remember the last time that happened was the year 2000 when all the dot-coms went public. That didn't end so well. A lot of times you see this explosion in IPOs, and especially in the SPACs, which are very low quality for the most part, towards the end of a long bull market. So I'm not saying that the long bull market is over, but it was not a good sign to see all of those second and third tier IPOs coming public last year. What was one of the biggest winning IPOs and SPACs? Digital World Acquisition. The Democrats' worst nightmare, the Republicans, that's Donald Trump's DWAC, SPAC. It had a massive rally when that thing went public. Well, maybe that thing will start to take off and actually maybe be profitable this year. We'll see. Okay, when we come back, interest rates have moderated a little bit. They're only up 7 basis points right now. We'll take a look at some stocks that are standing out here today. This is Bill Gunderson's The Best Stocks Now Show. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now Show. Well, the market's off to a good start, but you got to be in the right areas of the market. The high PE, high beta stocks are being impacted by a big jump in interest rates today, up 8 basis points. The financials are doing well because of the big jump in interest rates. I'm also seeing some pretty good action in the energy stocks. Oil and gas stocks, that is. The lithium stocks are having a pretty good day, probably on that Tesla news. And Tesla's having a good day. The semiconductors also seem to be having a pretty good day. I would say software is kind of in the crosshairs of the rising interest rates, kind of like they were in February of last year. Well, a few stocks jumping off the page here for me here today. For one, Ford. I gotta believe that maybe Ford is up in sympathy with that big print by Tesla on how many cars they produced. Ford's got a P.E. ratio of 11. Okay. Tesla's got a P.E. ratio of 210. And I have seen a lot of articles, but it's really nothing new about the outrageous valuation that's being given to Tesla. And it really shows up when you compare it side by side. You know, Ford surpassed GM last year for the first time, I think, in 5 or 6 years. And it just seems like Ford's got a pretty good pipeline right now, especially in the EV space. Let's see, Ford is currently ranked pretty high. Ford in the Best Stocks Now app is ranked at number 176, 176 out of about 6,000. Ford, believe it or not, what do you think Ford did in the year 2021? It was up 136%. 136% last year. Well, that was even better than Tesla. Tesla in 2021 was up 50%. Ah, that's nothing. Ford clobbered it. Well, Ford is breaking out today. You can look at the chart. That's a fresh new 52-week high on the symbol F. It's $86 billion in market cap. $86 billion. Tesla in market cap is $1.1 trillion. Does Tesla deserve that big of a premium in market cap PE ratio? Again, the PE on Ford is 11. The PE on Tesla is 210. The market cap on Ford is $86 billion. I mean, Tesla's up that much today. It's up 80, just today's action. It's adding another Ford to its market cap. Tesla's almost 1.2 trillion now compared to Ford's 86 billion. Well, we own both stocks, so. You know, Ford is in the dividend portfolio. Ford also pays a dividend yield of 1.9%, but that's an impressive move. definitely jumping off the page for me today, and I got to believe that Tesla is helping Ford today. The other stock that's jumping off the page for me again today here is Alcoa. Well, you know what? We read that because of the energy crisis in Europe, Alcoa is shutting their plant in Spain, probably never to open again, okay? And other plants across Europe, I think there was 11 total factories producing different things, they're closing for good because they're too energy intensive. So they're just going to quit producing the product. That's got to create shortages down the road, and it's got to be inflationary. It's got to hurt the supply chain, and one of those areas where we're seeing rising prices is aluminum. Alcoa AA is hitting a new 52-week high today. Alcoa had a big year last year, and it looks poised to have another big year this year. Alcoa was up 159% last year, one of the biggest winners. It's not a member of the S&P 500 anymore. It's not a member of the Dow. At one time, it was a member of the Dow. It was always the first company to report earnings when earnings season came around. But it fell on hard times. Now it's just an $11 billion company, barely a large small cap or a small mid cap. But Alcoa is going to make record earnings this year, $6.20. It looks to me like things are shaping up in 2022 to be a fairly good year for basic materials. Basic materials, because of the conditions in the world right now. Inflation, supply chain, demand, all of this driving these things higher. And plants closing because they're too use too much energy. So anyways, there are different factors at work there. My two stocks of the day, jumping off the page at me, Ford and Alcoa, AA and F. They both had a huge year in 2021, and they're off to a good start here in 2022. Well, are you off to a good start here in 2022? Are you still trying to do the same thing that worked in 2020 with the stay-at-home stocks, or did you make some major adjustments last year? Are you still holding on to ARC funds, hoping and praying that those transformational stocks without earnings will make a comeback someday? I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, we're in the later stages of economic recovery. We're in the 13th year of the longest bull market in history. The longest bull market in history. What was the second longest? Well, the one that ended with the dot-com bubble. How will this one end? Well, there's certainly plenty of bubbles out there. There's definitely plenty of bubbles out there in the market right now. But there's also areas that are doing quite nicely, and I identified a few just a few moments ago here. If you'd like to get the newsletter with our forecast for 2022 and some of our top picks, you can go to my website at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. If you'd like to set up an appointment with our financial planner, Barry Kite, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Best. This is Bill Gunderson, Gunderson Capital Management. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.